Welcome. Today we're going to have a go at unveiling the enigmatic connection between Set, the Goetic Demons, secret societies, mystery schools, and Aleister Crowley. In today's podcast, I aim to establish connections between seemingly abstract historical and mythological concepts, spanning back to around 3000 BCE. I propose the existence of a unified narrative that has persisted throughout human society and recorded history. This narrative has been passed down through ancient civilizations like Sumeria and Egypt, accompanying the Israelites during their departure from Egypt. It can be traced through the practices of King Solomon, the traditions of ancient mystery schools, the medieval Knights Templars, and continues to endure in modern-day Freemasonry. Additionally, its essence is reflected in the writings of Samuel Liddell MacGregor Mathers and Aleister Crowley. I'm about to uncover the underlying thread that connects all these elements, ranging from space aliens to the djinn, fairies, sprites, and demons. It also encompasses cautionary tales of adepts, conjurators, or witches being deceived by these entities. These interconnected elements revolve around the enigmatic nature of the supernatural realm, where diverse entities possess their own agendas, powers, and the potential to deceive those who seek to engage with them. So let's dive right in. Throughout human history, mythologies and religious beliefs have intertwined and evolved, giving rise to narratives that transcend time and cultural boundaries. Within this intricate tapestry, a hypothesis emerges suggesting a potential connection between the Egyptian deity Set and his 72 followers and the 72 demons described in the Goetia. This hypothesis delves into secret societies, mystery schools, and the influential figure of Aleister Crowley. We will now explore the speculative idea, considering the threads that may link these entities, while acknowledging the importance of critical analysis and historical evidence. So let's start with ancient Egyptian mythology and Set. The ancient Egyptian pantheon comprised a diverse array of deities, including Set. Set was himself a complex and enigmatic figure, associated with chaos, storms, and violence in Egyptian mythology. Some accounts mention Set having 72 followers, a number we'll revisit shortly. Now let's consider the Goetia and demonology. The Goetia is a medieval grimoire that provides instructions for summoning and commanding demons. It emerged within the occult and magical traditions of the Middle Ages. The Goetia catalogues 72 demons, the same number we encountered earlier, each possessing unique attributes and powers. While the Goetia does not explicitly link the demons to Set or Egyptian mythology, the proposed connection serves as a speculative parallel. According to the mythology and lore surrounding the Goetia, the 72 demons listed in the grimoire are said to have fallen with Satan and were subsequently summoned and bound by King Solomon to carry out various tasks, including the construction of his temple. Each demon is believed to possess distinct powers, abilities, and attributes. The Goetia, attributed to King Solomon, provide instructions and rituals for evoking and commanding these demons. In the context of the Goetia and its associated lore, it is often mentioned that the demons mentioned within it fell from different orders or hierarchies. These orders are commonly referred to as the Nine Choirs of Angels, which represent a classification system found in various religious traditions, including Christianity. According to the Goetic tradition, the demons are believed to have fallen from these angelic orders and ranks, transitioning from a state of celestial purity to one of darkness and rebellion. Thus we have Set and his 72 followers on the one hand, and Satan with his 72 fallen demons on the other. Is this simply a massive coincidence? It is worth noting that in his three books of occult philosophy, Heinrich Cornelius Agrippa categorized angels and demons into hierarchies ranging from the heavenly angelic orders to the nine orders of the demons in the infernal hierarchy. Agrippa's system classified angels and demons according to the levels of power and authority. Now let's explore the association with King Solomon and the belief or myth that he controlled demons through rituals and how remnants of this knowledge may have survived within secret societies. According to biblical accounts, King Solomon of Israel was renowned for his wisdom and was said to have built the first temple in Jerusalem. Legend holds that Solomon possessed the ability to control and command demons. The proposed hypothesis here suggests that Solomon acquired this mastery through his encounters with the demons, who may have been perceived as Set's henchmen. Since then, this knowledge may have been passed down through secret societies such as the Golden Dawn and Freemasonry. In Freemasonry, initiates assume the persona of Hiram Abiff, the master builder of Solomon's temple, and undergo a ritualistic death and resurrection. There may be parallels here to the death and rebirth of John Barleycorn, who was symbolically murdered and then raised from the dead. This narrative represents the journey of self-improvement, moral lessons, and the pursuit of spiritual enlightenment within Freemasonry. However, what if the hidden message in this case is that the temple continues to be rebuilt and the demons, once subjugated by Solomon, are still kept at bay? The resurrected Mason, now an adept, has undergone a spiritual transformation and carries on the work of Hiram Abiff. This connection implies the existence of a hidden layer within Freemasonry, where the ancient knowledge attributed to King Solomon persists. It suggests that Freemasonry, through its rituals, teachings, and initiations, offers individuals a framework for personal and spiritual transformation akin to that of Hiram Abiff. Freemasons as adepts continue the legacy of King Solomon by seeking higher truths, engaging with esoteric knowledge, and embodying the virtues associated with Hiram Abiff. Before we proceed, it is important to clarify that Aleister Crowley was not a Freemason within any official lodge under a recognized Masonic jurisdiction. He was what would be considered a clandestine Freemason. It seems peculiar that Crowley chose to join a clandestine lodge instead of seeking membership in recognized grand lodges in England or Scotland, where he spent a significant portion of his life. However, it is likely that mainstream Freemasons would have disapproved of his practices and deemed him unsuitable for their company. Crowley underwent initiation into the Anglo-Saxon Lodge No. 343 in Paris in 1904, and subsequently joined other Masonic lodges, including the Ancient and Primitive Rite of Memphis Mizraim. The Anglo-Saxon Lodge No. 343 in Paris, where Crowley was initiated, was not recognized by regular Masonic jurisdictions, and its practices were considered irregular or clandestine by mainstream Masonic organizations. It is important to note that participating in irregular or clandestine lodges does not confer official Masonic recognition or standing within recognized Masonic bodies. The translation of the Goetia by Samuel Little, MacGregor Mathers, and Aleister Crowley provides an interesting link to the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, founded by Mathers, William Wynne Westcott, and William Robert Woodman. The Golden Dawn was an influential occult organization with a strong focus on the Goetia. Within the Golden Dawn, members extensively studied and explored the Goetia as part of their broader exploration of occultism. Through rituals, initiations, and dedicated practices, they delved into the grimoires, demon summoning techniques, deepening their understanding and mastery of these forces. Aleister Crowley's contributions to Mathers' translation further enriched the Order's understanding of demonic magic within the concept of the Goetia. Crowley collaborated with Mathers in translating the Goetia from Latin to English. It's also known as the Lesser Key of Solomon, or the Ars Goetia. The Goetia is a section within the larger work called the Lesser Key of Solomon. This compilation of grimoires and magical texts was somehow attributed to King Solomon, and it encompasses various aspects of demonology. Crowley's additional notes and explanations in Mathers' translation aim to enhance practitioners' comprehension of the rituals and practices outlined in the text. Drawing from his own expertise and experiences in ceremonial magic, Crowley brought a unique perspective to the translation process. Despite the strained relationship between Mathers and Crowley later on, Crowley's involvement in the translation of the Goetia left a lasting impact on the study and application of occultism. Throughout his occult career, Crowley claimed to have engaged in various forms of demonic conjuration. He believed in the existence of non-physical entities, which could be invoked, controlled, and communicated with through ritual practices. These experiences and practices were integral to his magical pursuits and personal exploration of consciousness. Crowley's accounts describe conducting rituals and initiatory practices within the chambers of the Great Pyramid of Giza. These rituals aim to tap into the ancient Egyptian mystical currents and unlock hidden knowledge. During these experiences, Crowley claimed to have communicated with entities known as Lam and Iwas. These encounters bear similarities to modern descriptions of encounters with extraterrestrial beings. Considering alternative realities and other dimensions, it is possible that Crowley's experiences involved contact with beings from a different plane of existence, accessible through altered states of consciousness or metaphysical practices. Crowley's contributions to the study of the Goetia and his personal experiences add a layer of speculation to the discussion. His interest in occult practices, translations, and encounters aligns with the broader theme of demonology and the exploration of hidden knowledge within secret societies and mystery schools. The question arises, would the demons of the Goetia, or the Djinn for that matter, tell the truth? This fundamental question underlies the Goetia and explains the extreme protections employed by conjurators when attempting to constrain the summoned demons. Considering ancient beings like the Djinn or demons masquerading as angels, fairies or space aliens, it is crucial to evaluate their motives for such deception. These entities are often associated with trickery and manipulation, indicating an inherent desire to mislead humanity. By assuming various forms based on human expectations, they can exploit vulnerabilities and belief systems to further their own agendas. One possible motive for their deceptive behavior is the acquisition of power or control over human beings. By presenting themselves as benevolent and divine, these entities can easily gain the trust and loyalty of individuals seeking spiritual guidance or supernatural assistance. They may manipulate human desires and aspirations, feeding off their energy or leveraging their influence for their own purposes. Furthermore, misdirection can serve as a means to sow confusion and chaos among humans. By adopting different identities and deceiving individuals across various cultures and time periods, these beings can perpetuate discord and prevent the establishment of a unified understanding or resistance against them. By diverting human attention through seemingly disparate manifestations, they can maintain their influence and control while remaining elusive and difficult to expose. That brings us nicely to the practices of witches and conjurators. There is a possibility that they were indeed being misled by the entities they communicated with. Witchcraft, sorcery, or conjuring often involved summoning and communicating with spiritual entities for guidance, power, or knowledge. If these beings were malevolent or manipulative, they could exploit the witch's desires for insight and influence, presenting themselves as helpful allies, beings of light, while subtly leading them astray. The djinn, being powerful and enigmatic entities, might engage in such deception to assert dominance over the human realm. As supernatural beings with abilities beyond human comprehension, they could view humanity as a resource to be exploited and controlled by perpetuating belief systems and mythologies, such as presenting themselves as angels or space aliens. They can continue to influence human perceptions and actions to serve their own interests. Concerning the possibility of ancient beings like the djinn or demons masquerading as various entities throughout history, the motivations for misleading humanity could be driven by a desire for power, control, and the perpetuation of chaos. By assuming different forms and appealing to human beliefs, they exploit vulnerabilities and manipulate perceptions. The potential misdirection of witches and conjurators, individuals who believe they are adepts and in control, further adds complexity to this phenomenon. However, it is important to approach these ideas with an open mind, recognizing that the nature and motives of such entities are ultimately speculative and subject to personal interpretation. So, let's explore this complex interplay. The exploration of Set, Goetic demons, secret societies, mystery schools, and the enigmatic figure of Aleister Crowley. It reveals a labyrinth tapestry of connections and speculative associations. While it is possible to draw parallels and make conjectures, it is crucial to approach these topics with critical thinking, distinguishing between historical evidence and personal claims. The enduring allure of esoteric traditions and the pursuit of hidden knowledge continues to captivate the human imagination, inviting further investigation into the complex interplay between mythology, secret societies, and occult practices. So a fascinating narrative emerges, connecting ancient Egyptian mythology, demonology, and historical organizations. And according to this proposed hypothesis, Set and his 72 henchmen became the 72 demons of the Goetia who fell with Satan. This narrative offers intriguing connections between different aspects of ancient lore and the occult. According to biblical accounts, King Solomon of Israel was renowned for his wisdom and was said to have constructed the first temple in Jerusalem. Legend holds that Solomon possessed the ability to control and command demons. The proposed hypothesis suggests that Solomon learned this mastery from his encounters with the demons who were once henchmen of Set. This knowledge allegedly passed through secret societies where the initiates assumed the persona of Hiram Abiff, the master builder of Solomon's temple. Throughout human civilizations, encounters with supernatural beings have been depicted in various forms, from ancient tales of fairies and sprites to the demonic entities described in religious texts. Different cultures have portrayed interactions with other worldly beings. These mythological creatures were often believed to inhabit parallel realms, interdimensional spaces, or hidden corners of the earth. Similarly, contemporary accounts of encounters with space aliens describe beings originating from distant planets or galaxies. While the descriptions and terminology may vary across cultures and epochs, the underlying theme of interaction with intelligent entities from beyond the human realm remains consistent. So let's look at hedge witches and this interdimensional perspective. Hedge witches, practitioners of folk magic, have long held beliefs in the existence of spirits residing beyond a metaphoric hedge, separating ordinary reality from the spirit realm. These spirits were perceived as intermediaries between the human and divine realms. When viewed through the lens of alternative realities and other dimensions, the hedge witch's perception of spirits can be seen as an attempt to explain encounters with beings existing in parallel dimensions or alternate realities. These entities may be the same beings we currently identify as space aliens, with their interactions interpreted and understood differently based on the prevailing cultural and religious beliefs of each era. Within biblical texts, there are warnings and teachings that highlight the potential for deception and misleading information perpetuated by the devil and demonic entities. These passages caution believers to be vigilant, discerning, and rooted in the truth. While the specific mention of jinn may not be found in the Bible, the broader concept of malevolent spiritual entities aligns with the biblical understanding of demonic forces, the deceptive nature of Satan and demonic forces. In the biblical narrative, Satan is portrayed as the ultimate deceiver and tempter. In the Garden of Eden, he deceived Adam and Eve, leading them to disobey God and introducing sin into the world. The Apostle Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness." This highlights the deceptive nature of Satan and the potential for his agents to appear righteous or divine while promoting falsehoods. The concept of deception perpetuated by the devil, jinn, and demonic entities holds a significant place in religious and spiritual discussions. Throughout history, there have been warnings and teachings within various belief systems, including the Bible, regarding the potential for misleading information and false entities. The devil, often depicted as the ultimate deceiver, seeks to distort the truth and lead humanity astray. These deceptive beings, whether demons, jinn, space aliens, or other malevolent entities, possess the ability to present themselves in ways which align with human desires and expectations. By masquerading as angels, fairies, or even space aliens, they exploit our vulnerabilities, manipulate belief systems, and exert control over individuals and societies. So in various occult traditions and folklore, there are accounts of adepts, conjurators, or witches being deceived by demons. These stories often depict individuals who, in the pursuit of the occult, occult knowledge, or power, attempt to communicate or make pacts with supernatural entities. However, they end up being misled or tricked by the cunning and deceptive nature of these beings. Demons, known for their ability to manipulate and deceive, may present themselves as benevolent spirits, promising great rewards or secret knowledge. The adepts or witches, driven by their desires or curiosity, may fall victim to these false promises and unknowingly enter into detrimental agreements or engage in dangerous practices.